Hello, I'm Janet Gallen, and I welcome you to Love Letters Live, which, as you, our regular listeners, know, is a presentation of wonderful people talking about parts of life that are significant, talking about challenges overcome, blessings unexpected, sometimes just the funny and ridiculous, sometimes the glamorous, sometimes the tragic. In every life's experience lie the seeds of love letters. That is to say, gratitude towards someone, love towards someone, the desire for someone, promises meant to be kept, apologies needed to be made, and apologies, make no mistake about it, are one of the most beautiful forms of love letter possible. There is no limit. There is no limit to what counts as a love letter. So I'm going to go to our guest today, and our guest today is Brendan Knight, who is an author and the associate publisher of Viva Editions and Cleus Press. And Brenda, I just want to go to you. Talk to us a little bit about your company and what it is you do and what it is you like to do.
Thank you for having me, Janet. I've been looking forward to this for a month.
Me too.
And Cleus Press and Viva Editions, we basically, in one word, you could say that we publish books that help people. And Cleus Press has been a real pioneer with LGBT literature. First book, for example, on transgender children and how to be a good parent and accepting. Mm-hmm. And that book has been selling like crazy. Thank you, Oprah.
Good.
And then Viva Editions is personal growth, gift books, reference, word books, cookbooks, including one you may be interested in, The Lazy Gourmet.
Yes.
And books on gratitude. And in fact, our best-selling Viva Editions book so far is Living Life as a Thank You.
Oh, I have that book. It's wonderful. And the whole concept is wonderful.
You know, the sales keep climbing. It's a beautiful thing. We realize that there's a gratitude movement going on, Janet.
I'm so glad. You know, gratitude, as you're saying this, I'm thinking gratitude is really the cornerstone of civilization. How do we get through moments of difficulty if we can't pull out a little bit for a minute and think of the things we can be grateful for? And as bad as life gets, there's always something. I don't know that we're always up to finding it and nailing it, but it's there if we care to look for it. And love letters is a way of putting that gratitude on paper and stamping it and mailing it and making somebody else's life richer. It's really a miracle of its own.
You're so right, Janet. I actually very recently in the last month came up with my new little catchphrase, which is gratitude adjustments, which is sort of a play on attitude adjustments.
Yes.
And it's when you're faced with something difficult and you have a choice. You can get upset about it and throw a little tantrum and complain and have a fit, or you can look to see if there's another way to view it.
Right.
And maybe even be grateful that you're presented with an opportunity to grow and learn and do.
Yes.
And so I've been at least once a week, if not once a day, I have an opportunity to have a gratitude adjustment.
Oh, good. So that means once a day or once a week you have an opportunity to get angry, which you choose not to do consciously.
Right.
That's important.
Absolutely.
So I suppose you could also choose to have your anger and your tantrum and then get through it and say, get a hold of yourself, you know.
Yes. And I imagine that there have been, I haven't written one yet, but I imagine there are opportunities for people to process the emotion of anger in a love letter and get through it, push through it.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing. And it opens up a good question, and one I love dealing with and helping people with, is do you have to have a heart full of pure love to write a gorgeous love letter? And the answer is absolutely not. You can have a heart full of anger and disappointment and acrimony and ambivalence. And those things are all, I think, a result of love disappointed. And if you're brave enough and disciplined enough, you can get through all that for the nuggets of good and craft something really gorgeous that, by the way, lets you off the hook as it lets the other person off the hook.
Speaking of letting off the hook and letter writing, to warm up for today, I was taking care of bills and mail and personal things yesterday morning, before 8 a.m., and I had received a ticket, even though I was parked in a perfectly legal spot in Berkeley. I remember about a month ago, it was really rainy, windy, gusty. Mm-hmm. It was sort of the last of the monsoons, and I received a ticket, even though it was so wet I could barely even read it, and it said I had no tags, and both of my license plates were there. So I thought, I'm going to try to go to the office and explain to them. And then I thought, I will write a letter.
Oh, good for you. What did you do?
I decided to write like the most eloquent letter that I could, because I figure those people that work in parking and traffic get screamed at and kicked and treated like, you know, dogs. And I thought, I'm going to treat them very respectfully. So I went to a very sort of old fashioned way of writing it.
I love this.
And, I said, dear friends at the Berkeley parking department, writing to you because I believe that there was a mistake that happened, and I believe I understand why. It was because it was so rainy and gusty that there was no visibility, and it rendered my tags, one or more tags, invisible. And so I just went on to, and I felt so good writing the letter, and I was being so nice to them. And, I took pictures and made documentation, and then even said that you could get a witness statement. So I walked over to my coworker and I said, you were with me the day I got the inexplicable ticket. Can you write a witness statement for me? And then I showed her the letter, and she said, well, I'd be happy to. And then she wrote a very formal witness statement, and we packaged it all up and signed it and dated it. And I hope that I brightened the day of the Berkeley parking people.
That you did. And sometimes a heart sticker on the outside of those envelopes for the drones who work in these places. Mm-hmm. And we don't see their humanity. We just see the jerk behind the desk who doesn't care about us.
Right.
There is, I think most often there is not a jerk behind the desk who doesn't care about us. There's somebody behind a desk who doesn't know us. I love what you did. I love what you did. And you said something so important, is that you felt good doing it.
I did.
Yes, because bathing in the positive.
Very nice.
Isn't it? It's a real
thing. Is that
healer.
A book?
Yes, I would love it to be.
Yes.
I would love it to be. Bathing in the positive is a real healer. Mm-hmm. So good for you. Okay, mm-hmm. I like that. I once actually wrote a letter and I did something and I got an apology from the IRS over something. I know. People are human beings.
They all just want what we want, Janet. Yes, the person that cuts you off in traffic and runs the red light and is grumpy.
Oh, they're like just to kill.
They're just trying to get home. They just the same as us. They want exactly the same thing we do. That's my that's my gratitude adjustment.
Yes. And also you're doing something else that I think is really important, is always looking attributing the highest possible regard to the next guy. Yes.
Yes.
That's all important.
And usually people will raise up to meet you.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. They do. God bless them. Okay, so let's talk about you for a minute. You had talked about writing a letter to someone you were no longer involved with. Do you want to tell us that story? And
I'd be happy to. It came about from the process of my work, editing and working on books. And as I mentioned, living life as a thank you is, as my mother would say, tearing up the patch and sales, 50,000 and clicking in just a year. So I said, oh, we need more. So we came up with the Gratitude Power Workbook, which is processes about how to gain inner transformation through the positive power of gratitude. And some of the exercises in there are pretty heavy duty, to use the common parlance. And one of them is writing a letter to somebody who is no longer in your life, whether they died or left or whatever. And so you just don't have the opportunity to talk to them, call them up and talk to them. You write a letter to process your feelings and let go or whatever it is.
And sometimes just to catch somebody up with what's gone on in your life.
Yes.
Like someone who cared about you.
Yes. And so I know that I mentioned a couple of things, but the one that I was really thinking about when I knew I was going to be talking to you, Janet, is my fiance who passed away, Robert Loeffler.
Oh.
And yes, he was a lovely gentleman. He actually worked at UCSF, which is a few blocks from here, and really brilliant and handsome and just, you know, kind of perfect. And he had melanoma, and that happens, boy, does that happen quickly. And so actually from diagnosis to when he passed was less than a year. And we all thought, including his doctor, they had some months to live, but the chemo was so stressful that he went septic and passed, and so we didn't even get to say goodbye.
How long have you known him?
I'd known him for 18 years.
That's a long time.
Yes. And I still thank heaven that I'm pretty open. And if I, you know, if I love you, I'll say love you, you know, every time I talk to you or see you or whatever. So my last words were, I love you. And his last words were to me. So thank heavens, you know, we thought we were going to see each other, you know, the next day, but we didn't. But those were the parting words. But there's so much that I didn't get to say. I never got to say goodbye.
Yes.
So he would be the number one person I would write the love letter of love letter to.
What can we talk about then? Let's
yes.
Let's plan it.
Okay,
because it's a beautiful thing to do, to write to people who are no longer here, especially people you've loved and shared so much of a life with. So there are a couple of things to look at. Sometimes we want to say things that we've never said before in a love letter. We just didn't have a chance, or maybe we weren't brave enough, or maybe it didn't seem relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So are there any things that you would like to say to him that you never said in person?
Got to think about that, because when I was in my mind, you know, when I was sort of thinking about it, I thought I would catch him up on all that happened. He was very political, and, he passed, I guess, 3 years ago, and the Tea Party phenomenon didn't exist yet.
Okay, so that's a good point, because you can do whatever you want, of course, but it may not be so wise to write the longest love letter, like a 30-page love letter, and you might have 30 pages worth of something to say, and it might be that you write a love letter every 6 months to this person. And you kind of carve it out in different ways. So the political stuff, catching a person up with what's happened in the world, is great.
Well, and also because when something crazy happens, like, you know, almost the government shut down, and, you know, just the Tea Party syndrome in general is so crazy, it makes me think of him, because I always, you know, even amongst our friends, we'll say, oh my goodness, what would Robert be saying about that?
Okay, so isn't that a wonderful way to start a love letter?
Mm-hmm.
Dear Robert, when I'm with people, so many times it's, what would Robert say about that? And because I know who you are and I love you so much, I want to tell you what's going on.
Right.
And I know you'll want to hear about it. And one of the benefits of this is real sharing. It doesn't matter that he's not here, you're still sharing.
Right. And he had this wicked wit and humor, and he would always say the smartest thing. So we miss him.
Yes. That's a specific.
Yes. We, you know, we miss your wonderful wit, and, you know, wish you were here to, like, you know, share in our, like, you know, disgust and, you know, just, you know, we can hardly believe, you know, what's going on. And,
now,
you know,
what about him, that he might like to know you remembered? Because so often in a good love letter, the gift is that you remembered. Plain and simple, the gift is you remembered.
Yes.
So evoking memories, like, I remember the time we were at such and such.
Right.
And you said, and I still think of those words. It still has an effect on me. Any
right.
of that kind of thing.
Right. Well, I remember, like, for example, I remember being, you know, together at every presidential election, because we would have parties. I mean, it was such a big thing, you know, because of him. He politicized, I guess, in the positive way of thinking of the word. He politicized all of us. We were, I would say that I voted and paid attention right before the elections, but I didn't know all the ins and outs. But Robert educated us. He would keep us up on it daily, like, this happened, you need to know about this, here's this link.
So he actually changed you for the better in some awareness and intelligence way.
He did. And his, you know, our group of friends were all tight and absolutely, you know, think of him a lot. We still get together, you know, and it's you know, Robert's there with us in spirit, we feel.
So don't you want to say that?
I do want to say that. Yes, absolutely.
And when you talk about him, what are the things that you say? I mean, I don't know what he looked like. I don't know. You know, everybody likes to know he was attractive.
Yes.
Everybody likes to know he had strengths or he had talents.
Right, so, right. Oh, we say that Robert was funny. He, you know, he was also an actor in addition to his many, many talents. And so he could do good imitations of, like, classic movies and things like that.
Now, what did he do professionally?
He actually ended up working at Sega. And it was funny because Sega made video games like Sonic the Hedgehog. And when we would meet new people, we would say we're both in publishing because technically the creation of video games was publishing as well. So, of course, his was way more successful than books because...
Well, that's because of the times we live in.
Exactly, exactly. And he was a world traveler. So he always, like, you know, I would, like, want to read about Stonehenge and know everything there was to know about Stonehenge. Robert went there, took pictures of Stonehenge, which I still, you know, have all of his photographs.
So he was adventurous.
He was an adventurous spirit, yes. So, you know, I would probably tell him, catch him up on me as well.
Okay, now here's a really important point, I think.
Yes.
A love letter is about the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
To be distinguished from a loving letter,
mm-hmm.
where you talk about yourself and what you've been doing and what,
mm-hmm.
except in this instance, because when you're writing to somebody that you love,
uh-huh.
and you're telling him about yourself,
mm-hmm.
it is a way of sharing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just tooting your horn about what you were doing. You're really connecting with him.
Right.
And it is in that vein of, I miss you so much and I love you so much and I want you to know what I'm doing.
Yes. Yes, because he he cared so enormously, and I know he would want the best for me.
And to say just those words. You know, so often in writing a love letter, people will think one thing, and then they'll sit down and be stumped.
Mm-hmm.
Or take some posture that's not really their voice, that they mm-hmm. think is a love letter voice.
Mm-hmm.
When a real love letter is your heart on paper.
Your heart on paper.
As it comes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's beautifully said. Your heart on paper. I like that. So I would tell Robert something that I think would in this letter that I think he would be so happy about, which is that I found somebody, and not only did I find somebody, but he was a cancer survivor.
Oh, so you a sweetheart you found?
Yes, yes. And
how nice to share that with him and let him know that in his love for you, he doesn't have to worry that you're alone.
Right.
Because
I sure was there for like a couple of years. That was rough. I mean.
Yes. And to say that.
Mm-hmm.
To say that.
Absolutely.
Well, you have so much to say.
I do.
Maybe it'll be four different letters.
One at the start of every season. So I guess this is the beginning of spring, right?
That would be lovely.
Yes.
Start every season with a letter to him until you have said all you want to say to him.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll always want to drop a note.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that I would ever get it all said.
But you could start out with the political importance.
Right.
And his emotional importance and what he taught you. Then another
right.
one about what you've been doing and what you've accomplished in life.
Right.
That you found somebody.
Yes.
And then maybe the fourth one would be what you remember about him.
Mm-hmm.
And those are such different subjects that it would be nice to have like four chapters of a letter.
Right.
Now, does he have children?
No. We had
parents, brothers, nieces.
Oh yes, absolutely. Nieces and nephews
uh-huh.
that he was very close with.
Oh, excellent. Okay, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I'm asking now. Are his parents still living?
No, they passed away a couple years before he did.
Okay, but he's got nieces and nephews to whom
yes.
he's close. So my question is, to whom will you send this letter? Because a love letter, if it's really a letter, should be
mm-hmm.
sent.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's a journal and it might be gorgeous, but Where do you send it?
I think I would send it to his three sisters, and then they can disseminate it to the nieces and nephews, because Robert's three sisters live, two live in Texas and one lives in Judy, Jan, and Joni Leffler. They live in Texas and Minneapolis, and they were moms with, you know, busy families and children, and they didn't travel here much, and he would have to go to them. In fact, we visited a couple of times, and so when he passed so suddenly here, actually a few blocks away at the Kaiser, they came out and they expressed their concern to me and all of Robert's friends, and they said, we worried about him so much, we thought, oh, he's so far away from his family. And they knew about me, but they didn't know that Robert had a crew. You know, we had like we pulled together a quick ceremony in 2 days, and 90 people showed up. And they were astounded, and they said, we worried about whether it was just you and him on Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving. And I said, no, it was like 30, 40, 50 people.
Oh, then Robert should know that also.
Right.
Well, he should know all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in writing it, you're going to feel so good that you get to, as I say, you know, just bathe in all the positive.
Yes.
But how do you think? I mean, I love the idea of double duty love letters, where you write to somebody who's no longer here, and you send it to someone who is, either siblings or children or parents. And it's, you know, dear Jan, Joan, and Judy, I'm writing this to Robert, but I'm going to send it to you so you can keep guard of it.
Right.
And this is a big part of your history.
Yes.
And a big part of Robert's.
Yes.
And let them put it in some treasure box.
Right.
To be found by their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And they'll know something about you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll know something about him.
Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't like knowing that he comes from a good pedigree? That is to say, you come from people who really knew how to love.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
We all want to have a good pedigree, and what better pedigree is there than we loved well?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Do it.
Yes.
So may I suggest that you send yourself a copy too?
Okay.
You know, we live in a wonderful time. You can make copies.
Right.
And then when you want to know what you told him, or when you get old and a little dotty.
Yeah.
And you you want to write
it
again.
Oh, right.
Say, oh, am I repeating myself?
Yes.
Or is there something new?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like this a lot.
Oh, thank you.
So what are there other people?
Well.
You may, I mean, you know, we say letter writing is not a one-shot deal.
Mm-hmm.
So just for the heck of it, who else in your life would you write, without planning them or anything, but would you write letters to that maybe you never have?
Well, I will start with the fact that I guess I'm more of a letter writer than I knew, because for my new boyfriend, his name is Rich Chin, for Rich's birthday, I thought, oh, there has to be more than just a card with, you know, notes in it.
Good.
So I wrote a full letter about how grateful I was to have met him, how fortunate, lucky, you know, that because it was all sort of a lovely accident, and that I'm so happy.
Oh, that's so nice.
You know,
for a television moment so people can see your smiling, sparkling face.
Yeah. So very happy. And then also, you know, some nice things about him. He you know, he's the son of immigrants, you know, immigrants to America that came from mainland China, and I think in some rough circumstances. So I think it was 7 days a week working and not much time for small talk. And so I don't think he'd been told how great he is.
Oh, good.
So I made sure to tell
that.
I want
to tell you something. In other cultures also, people aren't as expressive of it.
Yes.
You know, we've had guests here who come from other cultures, and they say, I want to write this letter because I come from people who don't say these things out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, partly it could be busy and overwhelmed, and partly it can be a cultural difference.
Right.
But how smart of you to know that people need to hear it.
Yes.
And what
yes.
a gift. What
yes.
a gift.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad to hear about that.
Yeah. So I know he has a memento too. I mean, I know I mentioned this when you and I met over tea recently, that I keep every if you send me a card, a postcard, a letter, I keep it. And then I just sort of, my filing system is a little wacky, but I just put, I have a library of books, pretty large library, and one bookcase of my most prized books, you know, autographed books, books that I read over and over again, beautiful books. And into those most prized books go the notes and postcards. So they're all there.
And it's people do not throw away love letters. They just don't. I think most people have, you know, if they're lucky enough to write them and get them, they have them somewhere.
Yes.
And two generations later, they're going to fall out of some book and be a found treasure.
Yes.
So I have a question. Do you think about what stationery you'll use to write these letters? Do you think about stationery?
I do. There's a store called Castle in the Air. I think I mentioned it to you, and I've got to make sure. Maybe we need to go together or something.
I love that.
It has hundreds of pens, the nicest pens in the world, and then also beautiful postcard stationery journals. That is, in many cases, they're handcrafted and handmade.
Okay. Because the stationery and the envelope is the gift wrap for this gift.
Yes.
It absolutely is. And when you see something like that on your otherwise dismal package of mail, it is as if you have received a bag of diamonds. I think. I mean, who doesn't just miss a heartbeat when you see something personal?
Right.
And handwriting?
My handwriting, I blame it on email. I used to have nice handwriting, and my sister Martha has beautiful, almost calligraphic handwriting, but my penmanship went south, I think, due to like about 300 emails a day.
May I just say that doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter?
No. If it's not gorgeous handwriting, it's still yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's still yours.
Mm-hmm.
And although if your handwriting is really illegible to the point where it's a kindness to do it in, you know, on a word processor, and you pick a nice font and everything, but don't get too fancy.
Okay.
Because that nice, you know, angelic, italicized handwriting, that person won't be able to read when he's 90. You want something kind of sturdy that'll hold up.
Right.
But something of your handwriting.
Oh, absolutely.
Either a PS and by all means the envelope.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's important.
I promise.
And you remember to date it.
I will.
Okay.
Yes.
Really, people, I think, sometimes forget that the date is an important part of the love letter, because when you read it years to come, and you can't reread a phone call, but when you reread a love letter in years to come, you look at the date, you'll be able to picture exactly where you were when you felt that or received it. It's all part of the package.
I want to tell you about a discovery of a love letter that I think you might be interested in, and it happened just a few blocks away here. We're doing a book at Viva Editions, which is the untold story of On the Road, you know, the famous Kerouac Cassidy On the Road. It was the girl who went on the road. His name was Luann Henderson. She ended up living just a few blocks away here from KUSF, and I was there a month ago for a meeting, and they found the only love letter she ever wrote to Neil Cassidy, and we're putting it in the book at my insistence.
Good for you. Because found love letters are a treasure. I'd love to invite you to come back sometime.
Okay.
And talk about found love letters.
Okay.
There is a world to open doors that people just so often don't know. I want to thank you so much for coming and talking
about
this with me. It's just been a pleasure hearing from you.
My pleasure.
And everything you've said has been so just exactly what I say. I could retire and just give this to you. So I thank you.
Okay, thank you.
This is Janet Gallen saying goodbye until next week.